I want the right slide to start, that helps. So I think most people here probably know Romeo already, but I'll take a bit of the background and then talk about some of the work recently doing for the new release. So Romeo's been around for 15 years and started out basically just to provide easy-to-read descriptions of the publisher's self-archiving policies. However, there should be an animation there. Oh well. In the past 15 years, the policies have changed, the funding requirements have become more complicated. Now, it doesn't just depend on what the publisher wants you to do, it depends on who you're funded by, in some cases what geographic location you're in as to what the embargo period is going to be. And then also, if you pay a fee, it's different. And the current Romeo is no longer really able to describe that easily. We've got a lot of stuff in free text fields. And so they're not very machine readable. So my colleague down in the corner, Adam Field, who's not quite asleep yet from last night, has been rewriting the code and we've created a new data model. If you've got any technical questions, please threaten to him. For this talk, I'll take you through some of the work we've done that's non-technical and some of the features of the new system. So for starters, the inclusion criteria. So the old criteria was quite simple. We really just want to know, does the publisher have a policy? Does the publication have an ISSN? And therefore, is it an academic publication? With some variation, it could be still a serial publication or it could be a conference proceeding. But fairly simple. However, this was an opportunity to upgrade that, bring it a bit more in line with the rest of the sector, and just sort of improve things, particularly in the likes of publication ethics, as that's come up as a criticism of us in the past. So, the new criteria, same as before for the publications, but now we want to know whether they've got, want their editorial board to be visible, we want any policies to be online is our first preference. We may have some negotiation depending how big the publisher is, but we want to kind of encourage the publisher to have it online. And then if there's any cost, can they also be readily visible online? For the publishers, we're looking at using the COPE guidelines. We don't expect the publishers to be members of COPE, but we want their publication ethics to be following the same sort of lines as the COPE would advise. And again, we want the governing board to be visible and want the contact details to be visible. So the main bulk of the work from my point of view was migrating the data. Thankfully, Adam was able to bulk migrate the publications metadata, so all the relationships between the publications and the publishers and the policies. However, when it came to the manual migration for the past 8 months, those policies have had to be done manually because we've got a large free text field. And that needs to be then put in so we get the correct conditions of the correct versions. Of what's outstanding, that's generally... we've got about 90% of the publications and policies already transferred. And those that are outstanding are really just ones which have cropped up that we think we need to go back to the publisher just to clarify the policy, or we've got a question about whether they really do meet our inclusion criteria, and we just want maybe some reassurance from them on that. So, data cleaning. Ideally, we would have done this completely with the migration, but we have a small amount of staff, basically me, so that became somewhat problematic. However, as we did go through the migration, we were getting updates to the live system, which we were maintaining in the new system. So some highlighted we needed to review them and go back to the publishers. And we've also, as a result of that, we're able to retire almost 100 publishers and almost 200 policies. But at the same point, we've also generated new policies because we suddenly realised we had to maybe create additional policies to get it to fit in the system properly. So, some features of the new system. I'm going to start with what's going. The ticks and crosses, they are going. We're going to have more just simple text. Images are useful, but it's basically getting more complicated, so it's easier. The old terminology, this is quite dated, and I've been wanting to change this for years. So they're going, and we're bringing in submitted, accepted, and published, and we think that's going to be a lot easier for on the author's end to understand. The Romeo colours, I'm sorry, they are going. As I said, it's getting so much more complicated. Romeo Green did not mean you could put it on anywhere. It never did, but a lot of people were interpreting it as that. And it's not really possible to revise them for all these complications if you're funded by where you are based. So they're going. And the last one, it's already kind of superseded by some of our compliance services, or ones other people have done, so we won't be indicating compliance with Romeo itself. So what's new? Well, this is basically a clear layout. This is an example of the current Romeo. As you can see, a lot of the conditions are in the free text field. And that includes the locations and some of the licensing. So the same record in the new system. And it's going to be a lot easier to read. We've now got different sections for the different versions. And therefore, the conditions relating to that version will be there and the locations. And if there's more than one route to open access for that version, it'll be listed. There's certainly at least one with three. I think there's one with four options in one of these. So it may still be quite a busy page, but hopefully you can click through and find out what you want. And I said in this case, this has got a fee, the previous one didn't. So what are the benefits of this? Well, it's a lot easier to read, I hope, for sort of just then users on... The inclusion criteria, I hope, is going to reduce some of the criticisms about which publications to include, and also means it should be slightly higher quality. It means the compliance services, from my own point of view, that run off it, and any others, other people do, will have better data set to work with. I'm also still working on, but we'll find better guidance to publishers who are submitting to us. And also allows us to rapidly develop new services to meet the needs of the sector. So, what's available now? Basically, we've got a developer's pre-release, but this is visible, and anyone can use it. The developers are getting a bit of a head start, so they can update their connections to our API and make all their plugins work. But you're welcome to use it. The beta release should be coming out next couple of months.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you.
Sorry. So, if you have additional slides, so please look at that. So, this is your final slide, or you just terminated it. Just show us. Okay, that's okay. Is there any question? Okay, just a moment. I will go there.
Is the data set still licensed CC-NC, non-commercial? And if so, what's the reason behind that?
It is still licensed. That's the corporate license from JISC. We may be able to do stuff on a one-to-one sort of negotiating basis, but unfortunately, as I said, it's above our pay grade for that decision.
So maybe it's a crucial service. So many people wanted to... you wanted to ask something?
Not at the moment.